This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How unemployment could be so low now, but so many people not working at the same time. I'm David Brancaccio. The financial world is waiting for the official reports on U.S. hiring and unemployment, due in about an hour and a half. This will cover January, and they'll be heavily battered by the Omicron variant. Yes, unemployment has been running very low, nearly as low as it was pre-pandemic. But we need to appreciate that there are now 2.3 million fewer people in the labor force, that is, fewer working or actively looking for work. What's holding folks back from returning to the workforce and taking available jobs? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman now on the forces doing that.
Disruptions to schooling and childcare are still keeping people who were working before the pandemic out of the workforce now. Chris Hosselman of Palo Alto, California, has two young kids.
Susanna and Eleanor, they're 4 and 6 years old, and my wife works at Google. She's the primary worker, and I'm the primary caregiver.
That's a big change from before the pandemic, when Hosselman was a busy trial lawyer.
It's a lot of hours, a lot of stress, it's a lot on your plate. And it was similar for my wife.
They were managing to make it work, though.
Daycare, evening nanny, laundry service, cleaners, to allow this dual income household to function. And of course, when the pandemic hit, you know, it all kind of came crumbling down.
Neither parent lost their job, but those support systems were disrupted. So Hosselman decided to leave his litigating job and take up full-time stay-at-home dadding.
I'm certainly enjoying it.
And with schooling and childcare still in pandemic flux, he feels no pull to go back to work anytime soon.
All of that uncertainty makes it really difficult to commit to something like that when the employer landscape hasn't really changed to accommodate working parents.
For some workers, the danger and insufficient returns of work are still keeping them on the sidelines. That's the case for Noah Dreyfus, a 29-year-old bartender in Cleveland. He was laid off when the pandemic hit, went back to work a few months later, but could only get part-time hours.
So we're making substantially less to go in and also risk ourselves, you know, a virus that could possibly kill us. And like, I had it very early on, and it has still impacted my lungs.
Health problems kept him out of work part of last year. Then he started looking for bartending jobs again. But the reality was very different from before the pandemic.
Like, I've had the interviews, and they've gone great. But then they're also saying, like, oh, we're only open from 3 p.m. until 9 p.m. Thursday through Saturday. That's not a realistic option, and that's also not going to put anybody above the poverty line.
He's still got some savings and says he won't take work that pays less than half of what he made pouring drinks before COVID hit. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
It's also a tragic truth that 225,000 working-age people, 18 to 64, have died from COVID in the U.S. That shocking number nearly doubles if you include people 64 to 74 years old. Scientists in South Africa say they have produced a knockoff COVID-19 vaccine similar to the one made by Moderna of the U.S., with clinical trials hoped for late this year. This could bust Moderna patents, but if approved, this clone could go a long way toward vaccinating far-flung parts of the world. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has that.
The African continent has the lowest vaccination rates in the world. Karen Fenner is chief scientist at Afrigen Biologics, which has developed the new vaccine. She told the BBC locally produced shots could be a game changer.
It puts the power in our hands to be able to produce our own vaccines for the future, to be ready for further pandemics, to produce clinical trial material on African soil, and then to look at other diseases of relevance in Africa.
Backed by the World Health Organization, researchers in Cape Town have used publicly available information to produce the mRNA vaccine, which uses fragments of the genetic code of the coronavirus. Previously, Moderna said it wouldn't enforce the patent on its vaccine, but it stopped short of offering to help the South African project. The South African team, though, has offered to lend a hand to scientists in Latin America to make their own version of the doses. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, it happened. Facebook Meta stock lost more value than any company ever has in a single day. The stock fell 26%, erasing nearly $250 billion in value after the company revealed that for the first time it's losing active users worldwide. But late yesterday, Amazon posted very strong quarterly results. Its stock is up 11% in pre-market trading now. The NASDAQ future, full of tech companies, is up 0.6% this morning. The S&P future is pretty flat. Investors may be cheered, but others concerned that Amazon is raising the price of its Prime membership. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
David, there's a lot of volatility in markets right now. As you mentioned, Facebook parent Meta disappointed yesterday, partly blaming Apple's iPhone privacy settings change for ad revenue declines. It also lost daily active users for the first time ever. But after markets closed, we got far better reports from Amazon, Snap Inc., which is Snapchat, and Pinterest. Amazon is the behemoth here, and it made a lot of money during the holiday shopping season, $14 billion. Cloud computing income was up. Ad revenue was up. Costs are up too, thanks to inflation, but Amazon is countering that by raising the price of its Prime membership. It's going to go from $119 to $139.
All right, so it's not the end of tech as we know it. Now, it's all very interesting. So these other tech companies did not get hit as hard as Facebook/Meta did on ad revenue.
Yeah, that's right. Amazon, Snapchat, and Pinterest said they're not as affected. Snap said its advertisers are getting around Apple's changes, and it posted its first quarterly profit, $23 million. That's not a lot of your Facebook, but a big deal for Snap. Pinterest, too, showed ad revenue growth. It's been focusing a lot on growing its video business. Shares of those companies and Twitter as well, which had gotten caught up in all the downward sentiment, are now bouncing back up.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo. Thank you very much. We also track the bond market because of its link to interest rates, among other things, and the bond market is down with the 10-year benchmark yield up at 1.82%. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.